Well, good evening, church. This is Pastor Greg coming to you from my office. And we are in the midst of going over our study in the book of Genesis on creation. And we are at day five. If you have your Bible, open it to the first chapter of Genesis, and I'll take a minute just to introduce what we're going to be talking about. So on the fifth day, God does this wonderful day of creation, and that he goes from, you know, the making of the water, the soil, the air, the plants, the fruits for food, and the sun and the moon and the stars, all of that creation. I think we left off last week with it. You know, God had this canvas now where he could put living creatures within that canvas because they had a sustainable atmosphere. And day five is all about populating a sustainable atmosphere with life. And a lot of people would say, well, why didn't God start with life in creating man? And, you know, we don't know why. I think that the way to look at creation was that everything was made for man to glorify God, so that God was able to place Adam and Eve in the garden and they had a fully functioning world. They didn't have to wait for food to be established. They didn't have to wait for things to happen. So on the fifth day of creation week, the earth was, you know, ready to support life. And we see that in that every sustainable creation by the hand of God was ready to go. And it was a perfect environment. So God used the earth's first inhabitants and, you know, they're animals that live in the sea and the birds that fly in the air. And they're not the things that crawl on the ground or creep on the ground. And once again, these things were simply commanded into existence. And because God commanded, these things happen. So our text this evening is Genesis chapter 1, verse 20 through 23. And you can follow along. It says, then God said, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens. And God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves and which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. So the command here is the sea creatures. That's the first thing. And then the birds were made after that. And when we focus on the command, and then a little later, we're going to talk about, you know, what this means for the record of nature. Remember, guys, why we do what we do. The Bible says that we as believers need to study, right? Study the scriptures to show thyself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, one who rightly divides the word of truth. And I think it's imperative for all believers to be able to not only explain the creation narrative to those who would seek answers, but definitely stand as an offense or a defense to those who would try and tell the story of evolutionism. And I think that if you don't know how God created the earth and you can't defend creation, you will fall prey to evolutionism. So in all of these things, God spoke, and the sea suddenly teemed with every kind of creature that lives in the ocean. Now, I just want to remind you of how vast and how big this creation was, right? So you have the tiny little fish called krill, right? And then you even have smaller ones than that, and the microorganisms, plankton and phytoplankton. Then you have small fish like sardines. Then you have medium fish like salmon. You have bigger fish such as marlin and swordfish, much larger creatures like sharks and whales. And he said he made these great sea creatures were they were called the plesiosauruses. And these were the ones that he referred to as the great sea creatures. But in that, he made the jellyfish, the eels, the corals, the crabs, the octopus, the porpoises, and all of the living things. Now, we look at coral and we think, well, coral's not a living thing. Yes, it is. And there are a lot of things in the ocean that we don't deem as alive, And yet, contrary to what our view is, they're very alive. Some evolutionists say that whales evolved from an animal that walked on the earth and then ended up in the ocean. And because I guess one day it decided it wanted to start living in the sea and eating seaweed other than eating creatures on the grass. Why would this be, or why would that happen? And there's no convincing evidence to support this idea. And yet evolutionists sell it every day. And God tells us that you know, he did not make the land animals until day six. So that would have been an impossibility if you go off the creation story, that the sea formed all of the fish first, all of the great creatures of the sea, and then God added the birds in the air. So the vast majority of fish, right, believe it or not, they don't eat each other. They eat underwater plants, material like seaweed and algae, the green algae or the slime that's on the rocks, and drifting tiny plants, you know, in the water, plankton and phytoplankton. And then the second thing in creation, this command, was all the flying creatures. And God said, too, at God's command, there were to be all sorts of flying creatures, birds, like. And then this is where we need to have sort of an imagination, guys, because I think that when we think of birds, we think of a dove, we think of a hawk, we think of that. But again, creation is so vast, right? Just to name a few, you have parrots, you have pigeons, you have poultry, which is like chickens and turkeys and things like of that nature. You have flying insects like butterflies and bees and bugs, as well as bats, and flying reptiles, pterosauruses that we have the fossil records of. And, you know, what a marvelous sight to have seen all of these marvelous winged creatures, right? And they all make sounds. Can you imagine that chorus of sounds? You had the, you know, the humming of the bees and the flapping of the bats and the chirping of the birds and the chickens and the roosters and the turkeys and all of those wonderful winged creatures, right? And God, in all of this, he cares for all of it. And God was pleased when he looked at what he had made on day five. And not only did he say it was good, but he also blessed the fish and the birds and commanded them to reproduce and to make, you know, more baby animals like it did, like they were made. And although God does not love animals in the same way that he loves people, he, you know, and I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for that, he still notices that when a sparrow falls to the ground, he cares for it. Now, if you go back to the Hebrew words of create, the words to create man and the words to create animals are like the word when he created man, soul, and he created animals, soul-like. Right, so a man had a soul, and the animals had a soul-like, and so they, yes, dolphins are able to respond, dogs and cats able to respond, pets are able to be domesticated, and some animals can be trained. That does not necessarily equate to the fact that they have a soul, because they don't. But how much more does God care for you and for me? So then we get to the record of nature. And one of the things that God did here, and I think that a lot of us look at the creation of animals, something far greater than the creation of animals was the creation of flight. And we need to recognize that. It is extremely important that God invented flight, because he invented an animal that was not bound to the earth and that one day would be a model for the flight that we have to move people around this earth. So God made the creatures with four different types of wings, right? And just, this is an amazing. So birds, they have wings made of feathers, right? And insects, they have wings made of like a membrane that is like thin scales, right? And bats, their wings are a lot like skin stretched over a long arm and hand bones, right? And then the pterosaurus, their skin was like, it was stretched over their finger bones, right? And the flight feathers are remarkable. And if you look at this, when a bird rises, right, when it's taking off, the feathers, they automatically move apart to let the air through to reduce resistance, right? But one, you know, when they're going on the downstrokes, in other words, on the upstroke, they let the air in, but on the downstroke, the feathers close up, right? And it improves the lift. Also, a bird can carry the shape of, you know, when it's carrying itself, it can move the wings around in position for more efficient takeoff and flapping. And if it wants to dive, it can dive. It's all based on the shape of the wings. And so you may ask, you know, why did God make birds fly and why did he not make other land animals fly? And there's the difference is in the anatomy. And, you know, our bodies and the bodies of animals that are land bound, they have heavy bones, right? They're designed to live on land and not the air. God designed birds to fly, but he did not design us. You know, we're not designed to fly. We're different. Birds have light bones, and which are mostly hollow, with cross members to give strength. And our bones are heavy and solid, you know, because we have to, they have to support us while we walk and we run and we jump. That's why birds, they can break wings very, very easily. Their bones, if you looked at the inside of their bones, if you cut our bones, it would be solid, and then it would have an area where the bone marrow is. Birds' bones are porous, and so instead of it being solid bone, it's made up of a bunch of little pockets, right? And they're very, very, very light because God knew that they were to fly and not to be on the ground. So there's this other thing that we need to look at with the record here, and that is after its kind. The Bible tells us that God made each of these animals after its kind, and the people you know, walking around the planet right now, they do not believe that God created things in and of themselves. They believe in this process of evolution, right? And, you know, dinosaurs did not evolve into birds. A lot of people say that birds are the closest thing to dinosaurs. It's just not, simply not true. God created dinosaurs and birds separately. There is no evidence at all that one kind of animal ever changed into a different kind. And that's the problem with Darwinism. Yes, there was micro changes, but not macro changes. In other words, there were animals that adapted in a micro way, but not in a major way. In other words, you didn't have this one animal that did, you know, that was for one purpose and then completely changed its purpose. Now, there are things such as butterflies and cocoons and things like that that are part of a changing, but that's a, you know, the vast majority of animals are just the way that they were when they were created. Fish did not arise or come out from the water, you know, in this ancient pond, and birds did not, you know, come from dinosaurs. It's just, the Bible says that God created all these things before he created the land animals. So if we just follow the record, we can see that if animals were, you know, made themselves from other animals over long periods of time, you know, we would find millions and millions of fossil records that were halfway, but we don't. We don't find any fossil records that represent that. So the theory of evolution says that the sea life came first, then the land plants, and then the land animals, and then the birds. God says that he made the plants first, then sea life, and then the birds together. And God did not use evolution to create millions of years of creation. He just flat out did not. So what does all this mean? Well, in terms of applying day five to our soul and how it should change the way we look at not only creation, but what does it mean for us spiritually? Well, this blessing that God gives is significant because all the other days God said, and God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning the next day. However, when he made the land, when he made the birds and he made the fish of the sea, he said that it was good. And then he did something that he had not done, which was the pronouncement of a blessing upon them. God, in verse 22, said, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase and number and fill the water of the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. It's a threefold blessing. Say, Greg, where's the three folds? Well, the first fold is be fruitful, right? And the second one is increase. So you got be fruitful and increase. And the third is fill. Be fruitful, increase, and fill. And this is for all the creation that God did. And this was just the first blessing, but he would again tell man to do the same thing. So a blessing from the Lord is a statement of goodwill and happiness that is said about another as well as the condition that fulfills those good words, right? God's original design in creation was for his creatures, including mankind, to experience prosperity, peace, fulfillment, and the ability to reproduce life. So the blessings of that ability to reproduce life brings me to my second point, because the blessings are for us today, like I said in number one. Number two, the blessings are, they continue in us. God's creation can now continue this command of blessing to produce fruit, right? And what is that? We produce fruit by reproducing or multiplying to do what? To fill the earth. And so that creation that God made, and when he gave them that blessing, not only the birds of the air and the land creatures, but he said it again to those creatures that would walk the earth and to mankind, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. So our fruitfulness is extremely important to God. There are many ways that Christians can be fruitful, guys. We can, the true fruitfulness, biblical fruitfulness, begins in the heart with the fruit of the Spirit. And that inner fruit affects outward actions, and our words and our activities will glorify the Lord, and you know, as God's will is accomplished. And God's desire is to transform us into the image of Christ, Romans chapter 8, 29, and make us as fruitful as he was. It's our allegiance to him. It's you know, we want to be characterized by this good fruit. And the good fruit in the scripture is good works in Ephesians 2:10, and humility, Ephesians 4:2, and forgiveness in Ephesians 4:32. Those are all fruits. Those are all things that we need to do to be fruitful as believers. So just as God called the air, the birds in the air and the fish in the sea to be fruitful, he not only wants us to be fruitful in reproducing, but he wants us to be fruitful in all of the things that God has given us, right? That blessing is commanded over us today. We always want to be ready to give an account for the hope that lies within us, according to 1 Peter. And we desire to be the good soil where Jesus can, that he spoke of, so that things could take root of the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. So the result of the spiritual fruitfulness is that God will be glorified. As we grow, others come to know Christ, and this is the ultimate fruit that we have for a child of God, is to reproduce themselves by making new Christians, by honoring the Great Commission. Go into the world and preach the gospel and save people and heal their sick and be fruitful. Be fruitful. I think that Christianity begins to be really boring when we forget this blessing, that God wants us to not only be fruitful with our families. I've never really spoke about people that have big families. I come from a decent size, three kids, the mom and a dad, so five people in my family. And now I have, if Gregory were alive, I would have had eight in my family, and I still do because we got one replaced in Katie. But it, that's a lot of people. And, with that, being fruitful and multiplying, there's great challenges, but there's also great reward that comes from that. And yet, I still honor people who say, I don't want to reproduce. And I think that is a noble thing. I don't think that God is saying you must reproduce. I think he's saying I'm blessing you, and if you want, you can reproduce. But there are other ways of being fruitful other than just having children, right? Because there's an irresponsibility sometimes of having children if you don't have the means to take care of them, or if you don't have the resources to take care of them. Then it gets to be bordering on irresponsibility. And I think that even in this day and age, I don't talk anybody out of having a big family. I think it's fine. However, with that has to have the ability to provide for all of that. And with great blessing comes, what God would ask of us, this great demand. So hopefully that's helpful. On day five, we're going to get to day six next Wednesday evening. We'll be studying at the house tonight at 6:30. So if you have a chance, come on by for that. Obviously, if you're not able, you can listen online. And if you are listening online and you have been sort of a faithful listener, but really have not given your life to Jesus Christ, I encourage you to do that now. I mean, it's a perfect time. Today is a day of salvation, and all you need to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and the Bible says you will be saved. You don't need to join a church. You don't need to give money. You don't need to do. You don't need to act other than to believe. And the only thing you have to give is to give God your heart. And he will come in and change your life. He'll give you the power of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and you will grow in all of that wonderful blessing that God has for you. If you listen regularly and you already know the Lord, I want to give you this. He has shown you, man, woman that's listening to me now, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, that you do justly, that you love mercy, and that you walk humbly with your God. In other words, be fruitful. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week.